everybody, and welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode number 104. We haven't been with you for the last couple of weeks. Things have just been crazy, and we're just trying to get everything together. Just been really busy with stuff, and we're back now. So let's get into it, because we've got a lot of stuff to cover. I'm your host, Dr. Venkman, and joining us on our panel today are Mazer.
Exactly.
Exactly, yes. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just, you know, dealing with life and its questions and really wondering, like, do I want an apple pie? I don't know. Those are the questions in life.
I'll answer that question for you. Yes, you do want an apple pie.
Okay.
I said that.
And let me tell you what kind. Claim Jumpers, French apple. You can buy it at the supermarket for like $8.99.
Okay. Big life changing question, part two. A la mode?
You know, I swing both ways. So.
Well, let's not get. I don't know if we can say that. We have a clean tag for our podcast.
Wait, we're talking about ice cream, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes I can get ice cream and eat it with ice cream. Sometimes I can't. What are you guys thinking?
Mazer, no for the record, it's a la mode or bust. So.
All right. That, same here. Same here. I'm glad we're all on the same page.
Ben P. is also joining us. How are you, Ben?
I am joining, and I'm well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Nice.
Life treating you well? Life,
yeah, not
any
too bad.
Life-changing questions, comments, concerns?
I guess just how are your respective Valentine's days? That's the most recent main event that happened.
That's right.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good. I celebrated my Valentine's Day with my wife on Saturday, so it wasn't on Valentine's Day, you know, babysitter and all that stuff.
Right.
So on actual Valentine's Day, I kind of did a thing with the family and stuff. But yeah, it was good. It was good. It was a success.
Tiberius?
Well, I celebrated my Valentine's Day. My wife and I, she wanted to go for barbecue, of all things. I was fine with that. Yeah. That's not a problem. And then she made a nice dinner last night, and I've been recovering from that. And
Was that Philly cheesesteak?
No, no. No, she made Philly cheesesteaks tonight, and they were phenomenal.
And Mazer?
Yeah, I had inadvertently had started a tradition on our Valentine's Day last year, because my wife's a really good cook. She was like, "What do you want?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And I basically 2 years in a row requested the same thing, which is like homemade pasta and like an amazing like ragu.
Apple pie.
No apple pie. But I had cookies. Those are really good.
Nice.
Awesome cookies. And Tiberius is joining us. Hello, Tiberius.
Yes. Hello. Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great, other than the fact that I did not get my wife anything for Valentine's Day. We didn't celebrate it by giving gifts this year. But she said she was okay with that, and then turns out she's not. So what can you do?
Yes. Yes, whenever they say they're not, it means they are.
Exactly. I should know this by now.
You know, I'm not here to give marital advice. We're here
that's
to talk.
Another podcast altogether.
That's my other podcast.
Marriage Tyrant.
Marriage Tyrant with Dr. Venkman. Okay. So let's get right into it. Real quick, I'm just going to run down the top five movies of the weekend. We've got Just Go With It, the Adam Sandler movie. Took the number one spot. Thank goodness it beat out Justin Bieber. $30.5 million. Justin Bieber barely came in second at $29.5 million. Romeo and Juliet came in at number three. That's the CGI animated movie that I'm surprised made $25.3 million because that movie just does not look good at all.
There's a lot of gnome people out there. There's people who love gnomes.
Is there $25.3 million worth of people out there that like?
Or more. Obviously. Just like Google like gnome fans and gnome, like there's a whole freaky community of gnome lovers out there.
Well, I am not one of them. My kids saw it and loved it, even though they said it was long, but they still liked it. So it's for the kids. Let the kids have it. Number four, The Eagle, $8.6 million. There's a big drop off there from 25 to 8 mil. And then number five, The Roommate, surprisingly, is brought in $8.1 million. So that's the top five for the week. So let's get into some of the movies that we have seen. Did anyone see The Eagle?
Father of our fathers, help me lead my men well. Do not let me dishonor my legion. Please help me regain my family's honor.
Our new commander, Marcus Aquila.
Fourth cohort of Gauls, second legion.
Is this your first command, sir?
It is.
Ready? On my command!
Well, you knew who his father was.
The man who lost the Eagle of the Ninth.
Not to mention 5,000 men.
The boy's a bad omen.
By any chance, yes. I did not see it.
I did.
Okay. Why don't you give us a rundown of what you thought? Because I'm just kind of not sold on that Tatum guy.
Well, I can definitely vouch for you on that. I wasn't sold on him either. And frankly, I'm still not. He gave his best performance to date, I think, in The Eagle. So if you're looking looking to see him do even better, then this is definitely the role for you to take a look at. I thought he was good. I thought the film was a little bit too long. Had a nice amount of action, but all in all, obviously it was number three for a reason. But in terms of Channing Tatum's performance, wasn't as bad as I expected. So definitely worth seeing, but I would stick to seeing that in a matinee or, you know, it's not one you have to see in theaters.
Hmm. All right, so I will wait for DVD.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll wait for instant Netflix. How about that?
You might be waiting for a bit, but that's fine.
Oh well, so be it. I went and saw Just Go With It this weekend, you know, because it is Valentine's Day, so I thought, we'd go see the romantic comedy.
This may sound strange, but for years I've pretended to be married.
My wife beats me in front of my kids.
No!
I know how wrong it is, but there's no strings attached and nobody gets hurt.
Once we got married, I thought she'd stop hooking.
You need to put this wedding band on a true heart.
That's what it feels like.
It's an Adam Sandler movie. What can you say? It was watchable. It was funny. I enjoyed it for an Adam Sandler movie. I think it's one of the better ones he's done in the last 5 years, I think.
Oh, my God.
What was that?
I'll keep my opinions to myself until you're done, but continue.
I don't know. I enjoyed it.
I wouldn't go that far either, though, but go ahead.
Well, I don't... Okay. Well, whatever. It was an enjoyable movie. It wasn't, like, the best movie out there, but as far as movies go, it was just, you know, kind of mediocre. I don't know. It is what it is.
Yep, it definitely is what it is. Anybody else get a chance to see Just Go With It?
No. No.
No? Just me and Venkman. All right, dude. I've got to tell you, there's two movies that I've seen so far in 2011 that are worse than the worst movie that I saw in all of 2010. One of them is Burning Palms, which I talked about, I don't know, whatever, about a month ago probably on this podcast. And the second is Just Go With It, which I thought was utterly unwatchable and just completely unfunny at every single point. Like, this holds the distinction of being one of two comedies that I've ever seen that I can remember in which I did not crack a smile in the entire time. The entire duration of the film. Not only did I not laugh, I did not smile the entire time.
I didn't think it was that bad.
This man.
I had some laugh out loud moments.
I don't know what they were, Venkman, I gotta tell you.
Come on. Dave Matthews, the coconut scene was kind of funny.
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know what it is. This movie just screamed lazy on every single account, you know, everything from like the writing to just the concept alone, which just like, for me, it was just so blatant that it was like Adam Sandler teaming up with, I believe his name is Dennis Dugan, who's the director, and he's done, You Don't Mess With the Zohan and I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry and all these terrible. So I mean, this guy has been like, he's been teaming up with Adam Sandler for years now, working on all these movies. For me, it seemed like he just teamed up with this director and they said, okay, Sandler's like, okay, let's make a movie, another crappy one, you know, like the ones that we're so familiar with, and let's do it in Hawaii this time. Let's just hang out there for 3 months and shoot with some hot chicks or something. Get one of those, I don't know, one of those swimsuit issue models. It doesn't matter. It's just, yeah, whatever. And then Just Go With It is the result of that executive meeting or whatever.
It's definitely not the best movie. Well, it's definitely not the best movie of the year. Obviously, it's not even a good movie as it is. But I don't know. I enjoyed it. I kind of enjoyed the silliness of it. You know, some of the stupid jokes. I don't know. What should we expect from Adam Sandler these days?
I mean, Funny People wasn't bad, you know? Funny People with the Judd Apatow one?
No, that was one of his better films, aside from Punch Drunk Love, I think.
For Funny People that much. I mean, I liked it, but I was like, eh.
Did you like Funny People or Just Go With It more?
I kind of liked them the same, even though they're two different movies. I kind of feel the same about each of them.
Wow.
It's just kind of like, wow.
I was backing you up there, Venkman, for a bit, man, saying, because I agree, I had fun, but if that statement right there, I just don't know if I can do it anymore, my friend. I mean,
well, that's a different movie. That's I don't know.
Funny People, Adam Sandler actually acted.
He did.
Okay, Just Go With It. We're seeing Adam Sandler on screen. That's it.
Yeah. And the thing about it is like...
But I love Punch Drunk Love. Loved it.
Oh, yeah, as did I.
The connection, the reason
I think it depends... I don't know, maybe it all depends on the type of mood you're in when you go see these movies. You know what I mean?
That's a very big factor. You're right.
I'm going to go see Just Go With It with my wife. I'm in a good mood. I'm not going to, I'm laughing, I'm having a good time. So yeah, I enjoyed the experience. Maybe when I saw Funny People, I wasn't enjoying the experience as much. Maybe I had a bad day. I don't know. I haven't seen it since I watched it in the theaters because I really didn't care for it that much.
I understand what you're trying to say, and like,
maybe I'll give it another go. I don't know.
Providing context for going in, like that's definitely an important thing to do. But like on my best day, there is no way that I would ever like Just Go With It. I'm sorry.
Don't have to see it in the theater. That's for sure. This is definitely a rental or instant Netflix.
Do you want me to tell you what I actually I my final sentence in my review is, if you respect your time on Earth, you won't waste it on Just Go With It. So
there you go.
Okay.
There it is.
There you have it.
we'll leave it at that.
Yes, indeed.
Moving on. Okay, so Jim and I saw Sanctum this weekend. Did anyone else on the panel see Sanctum?
No.
Mm-mm.
These rocks, these caves. Where else can you shine a light where no human's been? There's nowhere else left on the planet to explore.
It is the last unexplored territory in the world.
Espiritu Sala, the mother of all caves.
Trust me, you're gonna love this.
What could possibly go wrong diving in caves?
This is the produced by James Cameron movie in 3D. They found a big cave and started feeling water, so they had to escape.
And this is based on a true story, yeah?
It's based on actual events, but you know what Hollywood does.
Right, yeah, sure.
You know, they base it on the fact that there's probably a big cave for real.
Yeah,
the fact that there's maybe a big cave and an expedition got lost or something. You know, very, very limited.
And I will say that the script of this movie script just blew chunks all over the place. The dialogue was atrociously bad, terrible. It was like it was written
horrible
by I don't know me when I was 15 years old.
It was that
maybe
bad.
I should probably give myself more credit.
Please do. You're a better writer. This is ridiculous.
It was pretty bad though. The dialogue was bad, but I did enjoy it. I enjoyed the intensity of the film because there are some pretty intense moments as you're watching the movie and what these, you know, what the characters are experiencing. They don't really hold back or sugarcoat anything. It's a pretty dark film. And
yeah, there are some really gross moments too, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that aspect of it, and I enjoyed it. As far as the 3D aspect goes, I saw it on IMAX 3D because that was the only theater it was playing in. And I walked out of that movie. I've never been sick after watching a 3D movie. But I walked out of that movie and I could not walk straight. my depth perception and everything was so off. And I was
really?
I was tripping. I was like, what is going on? I don't know what it was, if it was like the water scenes and the floating around in 3D space. Maybe that just like did something to me. But yeah, it threw my equilibrium off, man.
Man, it was horrible for me. I had no... I think Piranha 3D was a better use of 3D than Sanctum, frankly. Granted, I didn't see it in IMAX 3D, but I'll tell you what, I was not blown away by the 3D or visuals at all.
Yeah,
I really wasn't
either.
That's a shame James Cameron attached his name to something like that, because
there's
other crap.
Yeah, definitely. But
waste your time.
Yeah, it was good to see once, but if I have to recommend it, I'm not gonna go say. I'm not gonna tell you to waste your money on it. So,
yeah, I saw it for free. So that's so. I mean, what can you do? But Ian Gruffudd, I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's name. But he was. What was he? He was one of the superheroes. What movie?
Yeah,
was he in?
Played Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four, right?
Thank you. He's a complete idiot.
Oh, that's right. That's who it was. I was like, who is that guy? He looks so familiar. But I have no idea. Dude, that guy was terrible in this movie.
Terrible and a complete douche.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was like, yeah. I don't know. Most of the acting was pretty bad in it. So.
So is there any redeemable factor of Sanctum?
I mean, like I said, I enjoyed the intensity of it.
Yeah, you know, that's it. That's
I enjoyed watching this. I liked watching the story as it went. I liked watching what the characters were going through. I liked anticipating what would happen next.
It was a neat father-son dynamic. I mean, in a way, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. It just sounds like maybe it was enjoyable on, like, the most basic storytelling level.
Exactly. I mean, these are the first two movies I've seen since I got home from Sundance. So, I don't know. It was, yeah.
Yeah, but you're still in the dumping ground of movies, so.
I know. Yeah. Really, we are. I mean, I was kind of bored this weekend. I really didn't have much going on, so I'm like, I'm going to go see Sanctum just to see. So. So that's what I did.
Yeah, I saw Eagle. I saw Sanctum and then Eagle back to back. So, and the Eagle, like I said, the Eagle was a better, was definitely better than Sanctum. So if you had to choose between two, that's a better one to see.
Now, was it for, it's the same for you? When I was going to the movie theaters this weekend, there was just lines of people waiting to go see Justin Bieber, Never Say Never. Is that, did that, was that with you in Jersey or?
Yeah, no, it very much so.
Because it was so crazy here. I mean, these lines were going like all over the place. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And it's just not, you know, they're not little girls. These are, there's like guys standing in line waiting for this movie. And they're, and some of them in their, like, in their 20s, like college students. And I'm like,
hey man, don't underestimate the Bieber.
I'm just like, what is going on? I have to. I am underestimating the Bieber. Or am I estimating the Bieber?
Just don't touch the Bieber.
I don't
Bieber.
Know.
Well, that's all
one
I
one thing
know.
I have.
Don't cross the path of the Bieber. I do like it that my little girl calls him Beaver. She calls him the Beaver. I think that's funny.
That is funny.
I'm not going to correct her. He can call, yeah, whatever. But, yeah, I don't understand. I don't get the Bieber. I don't understand.
Well, I was blown away that some of the mothers, see, it was a really popular movie that I noticed, a lot of mothers bringing their young daughters, mostly for me. I didn't see that many. I did see, you know, some guys bringing their daughters as well. But I didn't see a lot of younger, you know, I didn't see what you saw. I didn't see some of the just men going to see it by themselves or you know, teenagers or whatever. It was mostly, you know, big groups of women and their daughters. And some of the things coming out of the theater that they were saying, they're like, oh, it was really neat to see it, yada, yada, yada. And one girl said, oh, I'll never be able to marry him. And I'm like, oh, my God. I just can't believe it, man.
There were old women walking out of the theater saying, that was one of the most inspiring movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Everyone should see this movie. And I'm like, no.
Well, I mean, I guess technically we can't really say anything about it because we haven't, none of us has actually seen the film.
No, so, very good point. Very true.
No, it's not a good point.
Are you just saying that because, never mind.
I'm just, you know, I just don't understand it. I don't care to understand it. So, sorry.
I think if we understood it, he wouldn't be popular.
Indeed. Indeed. He's not aiming for us.
we're not his target demographic.
That's exactly. So, let's stop talking about the Bieber. And let's move on to some geek news, shall we? Because we've got some pretty good stuff to talk about on this podcast. Let's start off with Guy Ritchie being offered the directing duties for the 300 sequels, Xerxes. Did anyone see this coming? Because I didn't see it coming. This kind of came out of left field.
Exactly. I had no idea this would happen. I mean...
Snyder's been attached to it. Well, he hasn't really been attached to it. He's not like officially. He's never been officially signed, but it was always just, you know, kind of. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of loosely, I mean, if attached.
Yeah, loosely attached
right
to it, yeah.
You know?
So,
yeah, it seemed like a foregone conclusion. It's like
I don't know,
Nolan doing a third Batman.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's what.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when they offered it, when this news popped up that, hey, Guy Ritchie is doing it, I was kind of like, what? And my first thought was like, okay, this makes sense because Zack Snyder is directing Superman, and if the studio wants to get Xerxes out around the same time or in the same year, Snyder's not going to have the time to go out there and make both movies. He's got to pick one or the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that was my first thought of the reason why they would pick another director, and that's one of the theories that's out there. Go ahead.
Guy Ritchie, though. I mean...
Yeah, I know.
Nothing against Guy Ritchie. I like Guy Ritchie. I love Guy Ritchie's movies. I love them. But I've never seen him direct this type of genre, so this is completely different.
Yeah, it's definitely different from anything he's done before, which is fine.
No, everyone needs a different.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see what he ends up doing with it. Who knows if he'll even take it to the whole green screen level. He might do something completely different with the production on filming the movie. It'll be really interesting to see what he does, if he even takes it. As far as we know right now, he's just been offered the directing duties, but has yet to say whether he's going to take it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Yeah.
And so, along with this news comes, there's a couple theories behind it, obviously. The news comes from the New York Times Vulture section. And, they're saying that the third act of the script of Superman has some major problems, and the studio's like in a rush to get it done because the studio's going to lose the rights to the franchise, and it's going to go back to the original creators. And if that happens, the studio's going to have to fork over like millions and millions of dollars to get it back if they want to make the movie. So they're like in a mad dash to get it out. So that's one of the reasons why they're saying, there's no time for Snyder to do both. He's got to pick one or the other, and Superman's going to be it, and he's got to focus all his time and attention on that. The other theory out there, which this next theory kind of doesn't really make sense to me, that they're saying that the studio has test screenings for the film, that it's tested poorly. They're saying that it's really bad. The studio's worried. The studio doesn't want Snyder. The studio's starting to lose faith in Snyder.
Well, they're saying, from what I understand, that the Zack Snyder's newest film, Sucker Punch, is the thing that has been screened and tested.
Yeah, exactly.
The key thing to remember about that kind of comment, and the people that are screening it are most likely executives. Executives are not the target demographic for that movie.
Well, they have done research screenings for it as well, and I do know a couple people that have been to these that have seen the movie at these research screenings. But they, they're fanboys, and they say that it's just incredible, action sequence of eye candy, just craziness, amazing. So they loved it, So. So, I mean, there are people out there that are watching it. And, this movie isn't going to be for everybody, but neither was the first 300 film. So it's one of those things, like, if the studio's so unhappy with, these research screenings, then why don't they just – why do they have him attached to
– Yeah, I mean, you can't look at it in like, a term of consequence like that, because if you start looking at things like that – then we could stop it right after Watchmen came out, because that movie really didn't do that great for the studio. But, it kind of slowly built up a little bit of kind of a cult following and stuff. So, this Warner Brothers clearly has respect for Zack Snyder. They would not attach him to a huge Superman movie if they were, if he was losing favor in their eyes.
Exactly.
So we can just put that notion to rest, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is like, why wouldn't they want the guy that created the first one, 300, which has gained a, you know, is fairly successful in the fan community, and say, oh, we don't want you to direct the sequel, even though he made a really good first film. You know what I mean? So it's like,
I mean, if anything, that
whole thing doesn't make sense, but.
Yeah, if anything, I'm guessing that Snyder will probably do kind of what Christopher Nolan is doing right now, in that he's directing his own Batman movie, but also producing this Superman movie. So I'm guessing Snyder will direct Superman, but produce Xerxes.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's what I think is going to end up happening. So it'll be interesting to see how that all turns out in the long run. But yeah, that was an interesting bit of news. As far as other directors go, a rumor hit that Universal Pictures is looking to reboot the Terminator franchise and bringing on the Fast and Furious director Justin Lin to take it on. Boom. Fast and the Furious Terminator. It's going to be awesome.
We knew we had those Terminator motorcycles for a reason, right?
You know what? I'm probably the only one on this panel that actually had, you know, yes, there was problems with Terminator Salvation, but I didn't hate it, okay? Fine. I did not hate it. I didn't think it was horrible. I enjoyed myself in the theater. I mean, I didn't think it was great, but I didn't hate it. So, there you go. I don't know why they need to reboot is what I'm getting at.
Well, who knows where in the story they're actually going to take place. It's not necessarily, it may not be a reboot. It may not be a sequel. It may be a standalone film. The fact of the matter is they want to bring Terminator back on the big screen. And they're thinking,
well, that's good.
And Justin Lin is the guy to do it. And they're teaming up with the same writer that he's worked with on the last three Fast and Furious films. So it's, I mean, you kind of, if that is the case, you kind of really know what you're getting yourself into. It's because Fast and the Furious, I enjoy the movie. It's a guilty pleasure. I enjoy watching these movies. I really do. But they're not the greatest movies in the world. You know what I mean?
I feel like
Mazer, what's your take on this?
Let's give up. Like, we got this guy who's who can do some franchise films. Like, he can, you know, bang out a bunch of sequels and people will just keep watching them, even if, you know, they're kind of have low budgets for action films. And it seems like a very, like, safe way to go with it, as opposed to, hey, let's take some time, really develop something, maybe, I don't know, do a reboot or a reimagining, or, you know, a more focused direction on the film. But it seems like they're just giving up and saying, let's just cash in on the name while we can.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Well, and that's the weird thing, too, is remember when Terminator was up, was going to that whole bankruptcy thing, and the finance company is the one that actually got the rights to it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Sony Pictures and Lionsgate had options to produce the film with the financing company, but they were both so bitter that they lost the bidding war for the actual rights that they said screw it and just walked away from the project altogether. Mm-hmm. So Universal is a whole new studio that's, you know, involved themselves with the Terminator franchise since the bankruptcy thing all happened. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So, well, there's, it's not one even like they have the rights to it. I mean, it's just, you know, they're ready to strike a deal and get the movies made, cash in on it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's one important thing that we haven't mentioned here, and that a lot of this talk is based on the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger is no longer the governor of California, and there's all rumors that he might actually return to the Terminator franchise. So what do you guys think about that potential possibility?
Unless the Terminators age? Because he's old, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he can't play some sort of role.
He's the original Terminator, but the Terminator is a robot. And robots don't age, unless they go back and do the whole CGI thing again, which just seems kind of ridiculous because it didn't really look that good in
It didn't.
Terminator Salvation. So,
that's
I don't know. I don't see Arnold returning to the franchise for the fact that he's, you know, he said that he's kind of looking to do other types of movies other than the action stuff, because he's admitted that he's old and he's got to adjust the movies that he makes to his age. And it just doesn't seem like Terminator would fit in there unless they find a way.
Yeah, you could.
I guess they could if they really, you know.
You could see a fully CG performance from Arnold. I don't think it'd be too crazy if they backed it up with the money. Like, we had a fully CG villain in the Pirates films, so. And Star Wars.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Absolutely right. So we'll see what happens with that. It'd be cool to see the Terminator back on the big screen, though. I just personally, sorry, Tiberius, but I just want to forget that the Terminator Salvation ever happened.
No, I understand. A lot of people feel that way. But what can you do?
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what the title for the film will be, though.
Terminator Redemption.
I enjoyed Terminator Salvation more than I did The Phantom Menace. There we go.
I could go with that. All right. You got me there. So, did you guys hear about the new Sherlock Holmes title?
Yep.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on with movie titles to sequels these days.
Yep.
Because we've got Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, we've got Transformers, Dark of the Moon, and now we've got Sherlock Holmes.
There must have been like some kind of studio executive like conference where they're like, all right, the research is in. People don't like numbers. Your sequels, gotta cut those numbers.
Yeah, right. Just Sherlock Holmes 2. Let's just knock it. There it is. It works. I don't know. A Game of Shadows. What do you guys think?
It's still better than the Amazing Spider-Man.
What? The Amazing Spider-Man's a fine title.
No. It's based. I know, but it's I don't know.
It Jim
it's
really
the
wants
Amazing Spider-Man.
Spectacular Spider-Man. Oops. Tiberius would rather have.
Would rather have Spectacular. Yeah, spectacular. I agree.
Yes.
Or Ultimate
or
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, you know, 2099.
I'm okay with the Amazing Spider-Man. I'm happy with the Amazing. It's. You know, it's a classic.
But that's
it's
not
classic,
the way.
It's classic Spider-Man title. Okay. It's not just Spider-Man. It's the Amazing Spider-Man.
I mean, I think we all knew that it was either going to be the Amazing Spider-Man or Ultimate Spider-Man, and I think Amazing is probably a better title.
Well, yeah, you're right. Amazing is much better than Ultimate. That's true.
See, let's look on the bright side of things.
I know, I need to do that. You're right.
Well, speaking of the bright side, since we've already brought up the Spider-Man thing, what did you guys think about the new photo that was released with the title of Andrew Garfield in the full-on Spider-Man costume with the mask and everything?
I'll tell you what I think of that. I have it on my phone, and it's my wallpaper. Boom. Done.
I updated the feature just to plug that in there. It looks so good. I was like, I got to figure out some way to get that in there without updating everything else. So, I like the eyes. The eyes are great. I mean, the whole detail of the design looks better than the other one. It really felt like they wanted to remove it from reality. This one seems like it's still got an amazing look to it, but it feels more grounded. If it seems to have like something, it feels like someone's actually in there as opposed to like a CG model.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like for me it was like you know, we saw that first image of Andrew Garfield where he's maskless and he's just kind of standing there in the suit, and we were all like, oh wow, that looks really cool, whatever. And then we've seen all these kind of on set photos and like paparazzi style photos of the shooting that's been going on in Los Angeles, and we all were like, what the hell is this? Like, it's all bright and like weird looking, and it looks like the Spider-Man from like the 1980s or 90s whenever they made that live action movie, you know? So I'm really glad to see them, as an official photo, release something that looks like this, because I mean, obviously the studio is controlling this image, and this is a more like a better representation of what we're going to see in the final product. Oh,
yeah,
so
definitely. I'm way excited to see what they've got.
Yeah.
And I'm also really, really stoked to see those web shooters. And I know we went on like a big rampage about that, like whenever we talked about the previous photo that was released. But I'm like, if you happen to be listening to this podcast for the very first time or something, I'm a huge fan of the concept of web shooters. So
it really does add an extra element to Spider-Man and the character.
Well. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this video. It's kind of, you know, looking at some of the things that people were saying on Twitter regarding, I'm surprised how many people are just like, I'm not really, I don't care. You know, I was surprised by those comments of people with kind of this negative outlook for this new movie. And I'm like, dude, it's got a great director, Mark Webb. It's got a fantastic cast of actors. And and everything I'm seeing for it, you know, professional wise and stuff, the studio's release has just looked great. I don't see how. There's always a chance it could suck, but everything's kind of building up to it. Looks great. I can't wait to see, you know, the Spider-Man himself, like in the trailer or something, in action, and just see the movements and see how they roll with it. I'm really, really looking forward to this movie. So,
yep.
More so than I thought it would be when I first heard they were rebooting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
The amazing 3D Spider-Man spectacular showcase. Yeah. All right. So, real quick, let's talk about a couple trailers here that have come out since the last time we talked. We've got the Captain America trailer, which popped up during the Super Bowl, and the X-Men First Class trailer, which recently showed up online. So why don't we start with X-Men first and move on to Captain America, the First Avenger. What did you guys think of the X-Men First Class trailer?
I'll say that I will stir the pot and just start with saying I was underwhelmed by it. For me, I felt like I didn't see enough in it.
Really?
I mean, I like the look that they're going for, but I felt like I saw people's faces. I saw some bamfing, one person using their ability. I mean, I feel like I saw very little, but I know it's the first trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a teaser trailer, so they're just, you know, it's a tease.
I wasn't excited about it either, really.
What?
It didn't blow me away. I mean, I'm really excited about the element of the time period, the costuming, and the storyline related to that time period. So I'm very excited about the movie.
I feel like the
teaser trailer.
There's another trailer we're going to talk about. And that one, period, also in that universe. And that one was more exciting for me. And that was in 30 seconds, or about a minute, compared to the X-Men trailer. I didn't feel like there was enough of a set. It seemed like it was like going to be like, oh, you're going to see them. And then, boom, you know, it's like, oh, Cuban Missile Crisis. It was like, the Transformers trailer that we had was like, oh, it's like the moon landing, but different in a modified way. That's like, you wouldn't have thought of it, you know, you wouldn't, you know, think of that idea, and it seemed like this really exciting thing. This one, it just seemed like, oh, okay, so now what? Like, I don't know.
I don't know, man. I loved this trailer.
Thank you. I was so scared Ben was going to be like, yeah, I hated it too.
No. I was a big fan of this.
I'm going to jump on the X-Men trailer bandwagon.
No way, man. I'm jumping the other way. I love this trailer. I was not really looking forward to the movie too much, to be honest, like because we hadn't seen almost anything from it, really, as far as, I mean, like a couple images and like maybe a poster or something here and there, but it wasn't, this movie hasn't really had as much of an online presence as a lot of the other superhero movies did, especially considering how soon X-Men First Class is actually going to be coming out. And then when you look at that in relation to some of these other movies and like their marketing campaigns starting almost like years beforehand, like releasing images and stuff like that. And there, we haven't really seen much of anything from X-Men First Class or anything substantial anyway. And then when we see that, so for me, like it wasn't really on my radar per se. And then all of a sudden this trailer comes out of nowhere. And I thought it just did such a great job of making it absolutely clear that this is, it's not a Bryan Singer movie technically, but it feels so much like the first X-Men and X-Men 2, which are clearly the best of the series. Let's not even get into the Ratner bashing, which is like the requisite thing that we do on this podcast. But so for me, X-Men 3 doesn't even really exist. But they did such a great job. It almost felt like, for me, like the trailer for Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. If you guys remember that first kind of teaser where it shows like the, you know, the kind of slow zooms through the canyon and stuff, and like it kind of fades in and fades out of all these images from the series that we've seen before.
Yeah, got me excited for such a crappy movie.
I know, me too. But I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that this is not the same type of thing. But you get what I'm talking about. Like the vibe of X-Men First Class is like, you know, they do like the slow zooms and stuff of imagery actually from Bryan Singer's films, and then very clearly like tying that all in the same kind of you know, the same type of vibe and stuff that you got watching those movies. And they want to make sure that we get that same kind of feeling when we're watching X-Men First Class. So I thought they did a phenomenal job with this trailer. I was really, really stoked after it ended, and I was like, man, I'm going back and watching that again immediately, which is something that I very rarely do with trailers. And, you know, I definitely get your complaints, Mazer and Tiberius, about, like, not necessarily seeing enough of the kind of mutant stuff, and it being more about the atmosphere and everything, but I think that's what, I mean, as far as being a teaser and, like, teasing me and giving me a taste of the flavor of what this movie is going to be, I thought it did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, it did. And there's a really cool, I don't know if you've seen this video yet that I posted on the site recently. The guys over at IGN.com did a full-on, like, almost frame-by-frame breakdown of the trailer and reveal some very interesting facts and stuff that I didn't notice the first time around. And so if you get a chance, definitely head on over to the site and check it out. It's the post is titled Detailed Analysis of the X-Men First Class Trailer.
I watched the video.
I just didn't look at it, though.
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching. Okay.
Fair enough.
Well, there you go. I enjoyed it. I'm excited.
I just feel like this is going to be a very slow movie.
I don't know why, but
I feel like it's going to be really slow.
Dude, freaking Magneto is pulling a submarine out of the water with his bare hand. How did that not get you
stoked? Like, the effects look really good. They look really good.
That part
good.
Was cool, but overall,
everything looked great. It felt like it was an emptier world than other films of this type. It always seemed like there was like three people on the screen or two people.
Okay.
One
person. Interesting.
But it never felt, it didn't have like an epic scope for me. And when you have that, you know, that scene with the Cuban Missile Crisis, like, you're there and you're like, all right, I see, like, two ships, three ships, a sub.
Yeah.
Let's just wait for the full trailer.
Well, let's talk about something that you are excited for, presumably, Mazer.
Yeah,
let's
jump into it.
It was awesome.
Go
the
for
Captain
it.
America
I was,
trailer. What did you
I
think
about
that
one? I
was
super excited for it before this, and then now I'm just like, all right. It's amazing how at Comic-Con it was kind of like, oh, Captain America has hardly anything and Thor's got everything. to release, and the more time has gone on, it's looking like Thor is not as good as Captain America.
Yes,
I love the Captain America trailer. That got me just...
Wow,
I was really pumped up. And then did you watch the trailer with the
Yes. That's
with
good.
The Team America World Police?
Yes.
I was like, great. Dude, that's perfect. They should have played that.
I will say that I only watched this, I think maybe twice. I think I've seen it twice. Once, like, during the actual Super Bowl when it originally aired, and then I think I watched it once online after that. But I wasn't nearly as excited about this one as I was for X-Men First Class. And I don't know why. I think maybe it was just shorter, and I don't know. For me, like you were saying, Mazer, with Comic-Con and everything, we really haven't seen much of anything from Captain America either. And, like, they showed, I think, a couple little pieces of a scene that they had cobbled together at Comic-Con. But we hadn't really seen a trailer. This was the first one, the first teaser and all that stuff. And, like, yeah, the stuff with Chris Evans where, you know, he's got that kind of shriveled body and everything, and then he gets all jacked and everything. Like, yeah, that looks really cool, and it's really sweet the way they did that. But, like, to me, it was like, okay, Chris Evans is dressed in a costume and he's swinging around on a rope. Like, it just didn't feel like, I don't know, maybe it's because I know almost nothing about Captain America except for, like, the most basic origin story. But I just don't have a lot of excitement for this property as kind of a franchise, you know. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm kind of like in the same boat that you guys are for X-Men. Like, I'll reserve.
I don't know.
Trailer.
To me, it just had the feeling of like adventure. It feels like it's that Indiana Jones like Rocketeer feeling. It felt like classic American action. I don't know. Just
they made the most out of their time for that short bit teaser that they did. Yes. They really did. They packed as much awesomeness into that 30 seconds or something that they could make out of it. I mean, really, they did. And I don't know, man. It just looks awesome. Anything having to do with World War II and kicking the crap out of Nazis or anything.
I've never met one personally, but I hate them.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
I've studied them and I hate them. Yeah, I'm definitely looking for it. And Captain America is coming out July 22nd. That is the weekend of Comic-Con. I don't know how San Diego movie theaters are going to handle that one.
So wow, on top of getting that. You know, your Comic-Con passes, right? You have to like pre-order your ticket down in San Diego.
Your tickets right now. Start camping out. it's going to be crazy. So we've got that to look forward to as well. It's going to be fun. Good times. Good times in San Diego. And I just wanted to close out the geek news with some big, unless anyone's got anything else they want to talk about, but I just... You know, being the Smallville fan that I am, I'm just really excited to tell everybody, if you haven't even seen or read or heard yet, that Michael Rosenbaum is returning to Smallville as Lex Luthor. And he'll be back to close it.
Was there any doubt in your mind, Venkman?
There was, because he kept saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
He would have woken up with a cut off horse head in his bed if he didn't.
I feel like it was all posturing on his part. Like
Then it was done very well because even the producers were, you know, they gave interviews. They were all just on the edge of their seats, completely nervous that they weren't going to get him back, and. And so, you know, even the producer, unless that's all a show, too, I don't know.
I honestly think it was. I think it was like a thing where he was like, all right, listen, guys, for real, I don't really care for the show too much anymore, but I will come back if you give me X amount of dollars. And they're like, no way. And then the whole thing has just been a back and forth in the media of interview and interview, and that's their way of communicating with each other of how serious they are about doing this. And I feel like they just reach some conclusion behind the scenes, and all of a sudden they're like, okay, yeah, whatever, he's doing it. But I guarantee that those producers, with the show coming to a close after 10 years, they would have paid almost anything to have him back. Like, he could have held out for as long, for as much money as he wanted, and they would have given it to him, I think.
He's making more money than Tom Welling has made in the 10 seasons. He's been in small off two episodes.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I'm excited. Regardless whether it was a joke or not, or if it was all planned or whatever,
yeah,
I'm glad he's coming back.
I just hope they bring the real Lex back, because I'm still watching the show. I know you are too, Venkman. And let's not get into this whole thing, really, but just they're bringing in this kind of alternate reality crap and just, like, really doing a terrible job with the story. Like, to me, this show is almost unwatchable at this point. Characters have died and they've been resurrected and brought back, like, with very little explanation.
Welcome to the superhero world. Remember, they killed off Superman at one point in the comics and decided to bring him back to life.
But that's a comic, though. That's totally different, you know? Like, that's got a, like, a built-in readership over a course of, you know, whatever, 50, 60, 70, however many years. Like, that's a huge culmination. This is just a TV show. Like, there's no it doesn't operate in the same universe, really. I mean, there's a realm where people are walking around, which is, like, in TV, and then there's a panel world of comics, and, like, stuff that is more supernatural and whatever, like, just seems to work a little bit better in a written form and in an illustrated form than it does applying it to a physical actor and trying to, like, regardless of the quality of the story or the nature of the story, whether it be superhero or whatever, just, like, doing some of this stuff, like, Smallville has gotten so ridiculous over the past, like, 5 years that it's just, like, anything can happen, which means that nothing is important because nothing really has consequences, especially if you're bringing characters back that died seasons and seasons ago just out of nowhere on a whim because it's season 10 and it's the finale, you know, they're trying to wrap everything up. So, I don't know, I just hope that Michael Rosenbaum's return is a little bit more dignified than what the show has been doing over
season,
the past, I don't know, 10, 12
I enjoyed
episodes.
Season 9, and it felt like it was building up to something. Season 10 feels like 9 had a trajectory, and 10 seems like a delay. It's like more of a delay tactic than ever, and it just feels infuriating that, you know, why not I mean, I know they want to save the moment when he, but what would be bad about having half of a season as Superman?
They should have had this entire season be that, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I wish they would have gone that route, but they didn't.
Yeah.
But for a show, a TV show on the CW,
at least it's not ABC.
It's not that bad. Exactly. Well, I don't know. Yeah. But other than that, I've been enjoying the season. I'm sorry you haven't been enjoying it as much.
What can I say?
I'm a fan of the show.
Yeah, I mean, I like the show too. It's just, like, for me, the quality difference between the early seasons and then the last two or three has just been so, like, such a drastic change that it's hard to like it the same that I used to, you know?
Alright. Fair enough. Let's talk about movies that are coming out this weekend real quick. We have I Am Number 4 coming out. So, yep. DJ Caruso.
Based on a book. Produced by Steven Spielberg. No, executive?
People.
Sorry, executive.
This, by the book. Way.
Yeah, executive.
Mm-hmm.
Timothy
movie...
Oliphant's in it, so that's good.
For me, it's like one of the stupidest titles in movie history, I think.
Yeah, I don't like the title. I don't like saying, hey, I'm going to go see I Am Number 4 tonight.
And like the ads.
Just, it's not a flow of tongue, you know?
Yeah, the ads, it's like, there were 9 of us. I'm number 4. And it's like, why do we care about somebody in the middle of the pack of things? Like, it gives us no context, like, no reason to care.
Yeah.
It looks like a fun, entertaining popcorn flick, so I'm going to go see it. So
yeah, I'm seeing it too.
I think it was actually written by Alfred Goh and Miles Millar, I believe that's how you say his name. And those are the dudes who created Smallville, so maybe expect kind of some Smallville-quality storytelling there.
It's got the CW look-alike cast, so it's got that going for it. We've got Liam Neeson's Unknown coming out this weekend.
I'm really excited for that.
I'm excited to see it, but I hate I don't know if you saw one of the recent TV spots for it where they're like, it's better than Taken.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, why would you compare this to Taken?
I mean, that's the entire marketing campaign of this whole movie. It's basically Taken Redux or something, and it's like, you know, I doubt very seriously it's going to be as good.
You can't go wrong with Liam Neeson kicking ass. All right. You got me. Big Mama's Like Father, Like Son. Anybody?
I didn't know that was coming out.
Who cares? We're moving on. Vanishing on 7th Street is coming out. Limited release, which is a movie I'm looking forward to seeing. Directed by Brad Anderson. Session 9, Trans-Siberian, and The Machinist.
Nice.
So
it's also currently on demand right now, too.
What is?
Vanishing.
So I don't have to go pay money to the theater to see it? I can just watch it at home?
Well, I thought it had come out, I don't know, I could have this wrong. It could be coming out.
I'm going to check. So if you're right, that's awesome. I'll watch it right now after we're done. Other than that, does anybody else have anything they want to talk about real quick? Anything you want to bring up?
I think that's it, man.
All right. Sounds good. Then we'll just close it by saying that you can buy some Geek Tyrant t-shirts and Geek Tyrant stuff at geektyrant.me. We got glasses and some other things there for you to purchase. You can always donate at geektyrant.com/donate. Of course, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave us a review. Let us know what you think. We are definitely interested in hearing what you guys think about what we talk about, what we can do to make things better. Email us at geektyrant@gmail.com and let us know if you have any tips or anything you want to say, anything you think we can help to make the site better for our audience. Please feel free, let us know. We appreciate it. Fan us on Facebook at facebook.com/geektyrantfans. Twitter us at twitter.com/geektyrant.
Dude, actually there's one thing that I did want to mention.
Okay, let's do it.
Mazer actually set up individual Geek Tyrant email accounts for each of us.
Yes, he did.
So you guys can go to the roster page at geektyrant.com if you want to contact us specifically and, you know, shoot us an individual email if you guys want to do that.
Right.
Yeah, please do.
And yes. So other than that, thank you for listening. Thank you for coming to the site. Thank you for reading the entertainment news. We get it out to you as fast as we can, and you know, we do what we can here. So have a great day, evening, afternoon.